This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Thank you for listening this afternoon. We begin this week's programs a little bit of a different one. And Mike Winters, Douglas County's Lawn and Garden Commissioner, in here today, the Commissioner of Dirt, duly noted for 2 decades. And, of course, host of the Lawn and Garden Show Wednesday afternoons at 4. But we wanted to bring you in today to kind of look back, because you've kind of made a bit of a move into sort of retirement here recently after 50 years in the landscape industry, and much of that time having a nursery and all that as well. So we thought we would sort of get a behind-the-scenes look at your career in that industry and your time here. So I'm curious, I don't actually remember what led you to Roseburg to begin with, because you weren't from here, were you?
No, not originally, but when I was 17, I came here looking for my real dad, who was in the VA hospital. So that's how I arrived here.
And after that, though, at some point, I'm pretty sure you were a Marine, right?
Oh, yeah. I joined the Marine Corps right after my 18th birthday, and and then in the interim got married and brought my wife up here, and we settled here in Roseburg back in 1969. Yes.
So that goes back a ways now.
Yeah, it does.
How did you get into the world of landscape design and owning a nursery later and all that?
Well, when I was a teenager, I made money by mowing lawns for people and cleaning their yards because I could do it. And most of my life, we lived on ranches, so there's always a lot of hard work on ranches, and so I didn't have a problem with readjusting to a simpler work mode in mowing lawns and cleaning yards. I already knew how to do it. So I went to Umpqua College and got 2 degrees in forestry after I got out of the Marine Corps. Then I was a timber cruiser for BLM for a few months, and I got a job offer from Oregon State University to work in watershed management research on the Andrews Experimental Forest in Blue River. And after a couple of years of that, I was a little bit bored with what I was doing. Beautiful country, and it was a great job in that way, but I wanted to do something different, and so I took the exam for a landscape contractor's license, figuring that I'd see what's on the exam and then I'd take it when and learn. But I passed it the first time out of the box, so I got licensed and bonded and moved back to Roseburg, where we had a home, and began my business in 73.
So did you not expect to pass it?
Well, no, I didn't. I mean, I had no idea what was on it. I had no preview. So, my education at UCC really came in handy, plus all my practical experience through life.
Wow. So you got into it, but you're starting probably on a pretty small scale.
Yes. I had a 56 Chevy pickup, a lawnmower, a rake, a shovel. Let's see. Oh, and a rototiller. And that was it.
So definitely different than how things evolved, and crews of people and multiple vehicles and all of that.
Yeah. It's, I always had big dreams. So you just don't quit. You just keep moving ahead. And there was an old farm there in Dillard that sold a few plants, and I became friends with the people. And they had, like I say, a few plants, some rhodies, azaleas, and a few other things, but mostly it was produce. And then when the gentleman died, I watched the place kind of go downhill very you know, after a couple of years, it was just a lot of blackberry vines and brush and stuff. And Esther Gorley was the owner, and I stopped in one day, and I said, Esther, I'd like to buy your nursery. And she said, what are you offering? And I offered her a certain price, and she said, well, somebody else wants to buy it, and they offered me more. I says, well, I'll tell you what, you can live here in your home for the rest of your life, and I'll take care of you. And she says, you got a deal. So that's wow. How that occurred. And then we began the massive 5-10 year cleanup process of and putting it into production, and about 5 years actually. Built a small building, a small retail shop, and just kept on going, and things expanded, and hired people, and we did very well.
So the retail building that you built, is that the one that has been, or did you add to it later?
No, I built a brand new metal building. Sold my house in Roseburg, and used those funds to build a little building. And then after X amount of years, we wanted to expand. Esther had moved to a retirement facility, and so consequently, we took down the old farmhouse and the old barn and expanded clear to the corner, and I designed a building, and we had it built, and the rest is history, I guess.
So how many acres there?
8 acres.
So amazing that you can grow that many plants on 8 acres.
Pardon me now?
It's amazing that you can grow up, because I've seen how many plants you have.
Oh, we haven't even been close to filling it up.
Hmm.
I mean, I've had it 3/4 full over the years, because we plant a lot of trees out in the back part of the facility, because it's like 20 feet of topsoil, best soil in Douglas County. And there's a lot of water, and so consequently, I was growing fruit trees, I was growing grapes, I was growing shade trees, all kinds of stuff. And then we dig them each year when they were ready, and then pot them up and sell them in retail part of the facility.
So while you had that going on, you had started from one guy with one pickup and a few tools. How did that side of things evolve?
Oh, as we got larger and larger and had more projects. At one time, I had 11 employees, and that was back I landscaped Mercy Hospital, the new Mercy Hospital, when it was first built. And Sister Jaquetta, who was the main boss of everything, called me up one day and said, we'd like to talk to you about landscaping our new facilities. Went over and spoke to him and drew him a plan and gave him a price, and they said, do it. And that was my first major commercial job. And the trees that we planted way back then, they're still growing.
Now, it's got to be interesting, because everybody's job in life is different. And if you stay in a community for a long time, in some way you see the impacts. But for you, you literally see the impacts of your work.
Yeah, definitely.
When you see how a particular tree at Mercy is doing, or things you've planted other places.
Oh, yeah. And also, when we get done with a landscape job, I give everybody written instructions on how to take care, how to maintain, when to fertilize, water, blah, 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 et cetera. And I do occasional drive-bys on newly landscaped places, and if I see something haywire, I stop in or call them and say, hey, by the way, this and this and this look like this. How often are you watering, or how often are you fertilizing? And most people give me honest answers, and I say, well, cut that back or increase this or do this more often, you know, that kind of thing. And they're thankful for that. And I want them to have success. I want them to have a beautiful yard.
And that idea of wanting the clients to have success, not that you've done your job and it's up to them now, but the fact that you're interested in keeping tabs on them or offering further help is probably a little unique.
Well, yeah. And also, for 22 years, I've been voted favorite landscaper in Douglas County on the Reader's Choice Awards.
So the why is the follow-up piece to you so important?
Well, I want them to enjoy their yard. I want them to brag about what we did for them. I want and you get new customers that way. I mean, when your Uncle Joe says, "Oh yeah, Mike Winters did this and his crew did this," and then you get another call, and there's, you know, it's just I don't have a word to describe it, but it just increases your business base totally.
So it kind of builds on itself. And now some landscaping jobs, like Mercy, for instance, huge, large.
Yeah.
Some things very small, but yet you've kind of done all sizes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I have about five or six widow ladies that I take care of over the years. And I knew their husbands, and the husbands passed away. But they call us every year, Mike, we need you to do this, or Mike, we need you to do that. So I've got, we've got those that we take care of. And, you know, there are, they've been clients for, you know, 25, 30 years or whatever. And so you just, you take care of them. And when you take care of them, they appreciate it. Their yards still look good. And you know, it's just good business.
All right, going to talk more with Mike Winters in a moment. The interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com. Inside Douglas County at 1245 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM. Inside Douglas County, 1247, Lars Larson at 1. Melanie Prummer, Executive Director of Peace at Home Advocacy Center. On tomorrow's Inside Douglas County, Mike Winters. I almost said Lawn and Garden Show.
Well, we can do that real
well,
quick.
Well, no. Because that in itself has been on for 20 years. I know you talked about that recently. During all this time, when did you begin getting involved in community events after you'd been, you know, building your business up? It seems like I recall, because I wasn't in news back then and part of the time didn't work here, that you were involved in some things before you ended up in that county commissioner position.
Yeah, I was. I was on the Douglas County Parks Board for a lot of years with Sue Schaefer, and, you know, we became close friends and had a good time in directing the park's direction and improvements to parks and those kinds of things. I also taught landscape classes at UCC for a while and at night, you know, adult education thing. You know, little things like that. And I was a part of UT&E for a lot of years, and they would have young people come from the Job Corps for career day, if you will, and they'd ask me to speak to them, and I'd speak to them and talk about getting in business and what parts you have to fulfill and how to, you know, be a success in business and those kinds of things.
So what led to running for county commissioner, and what year was that?
Gosh, it was a long time ago, man. Ah, man, I don't know what year it was now. It's 19-something, 73 maybe, or no, it wasn't 73.
I was thinking it was in the 80s maybe.
Yeah, probably. I got out in 2002. 2002 was my last end of my second term, so subtract 8 years.
So you
from
would
that.
Have been in 94 then?
Yeah, 94. Okay. I know. I get my 70s and 90s mixed up all the time.
Well, so, I mean, you got a business, you got a family, you got a lot going on. Why seek elective office?
Well, I had been on the Planning Commission for Douglas County Planning Commission for a lot of years, and I didn't like the direction of the land use policies here in the state of Oregon, and I just wanted to try to change some of those things because of the restrictions that on private property that people owned several acres and wanted to develop something and they couldn't because of this their policies. And I wanted to be a champion, if you will, for people to be able to use their land the way they wanted to, since they paid the taxes, they bought it, and they lived there, for crying out loud, and they're not abusing it. They wanted to improve it, you know, those kinds of things.
So what was it like being a county commissioner?
It was challenging, to say the least, and I learned a lot. I mean, I can't even begin. I could write a book on being a county commissioner, for crying out loud. But I enjoyed it most of the time. There were times it was a little contentious, but you know, you make some decisions, and I was always the guy that when the when the clients out there called and said, I'm having a problem with this, or the road department said this, and I would go out and meet with them on their property, and they would show me what was going on. Then I'd come back and speak to whichever department was kind of causing a slowdown or if whatever, and you know, try to help them resolve the issue. And I did that a lot, and it was I thought that was part of my job to help people, and I enjoyed that.
So during the same time, though, you still had a company to keep track of. How did that, you make that work?
Well, I worked almost every weekend at the nursery, and in the evenings I would sometimes, and especially in the summer, you know, do bids or give estimates or draw plans or something just to keep the ball rolling. And I had some good people at that time. My brother Steve was, you know, very, very important and all that. And, you know, he kept things rolling, and so did my wife and my daughter Jill. And so it was a very big team effort, and they jumped in wholeheartedly and helped make it all happen.
So what are some of the changes in the landscaping industry during the time, during these 50 years?
More rules, more regulations, more education, higher bonding fees and insurance fees and things like that. A lot of bureaucracy has you know, come down on the heads. It's not so easy to begin a business in landscaping or, you know, along those lines, being a landscape contractor. And I still have all my credentials, and I'm going to maintain those because I'm going to be a consultant, if you will. I mean, I'm not going to do big projects anymore, but I'm just going to consult with folks and have a separate business. But if I run into landscape jobs, I'll shift them to Wintergreen and, you know, that kind of thing. But it's you know, you start out with this mess sometimes that's, or just a plain Jane yard, and you talk to your clients and they say, well, we'd like this and we'd like that. We'd like to see this and that. And then you kind of give them a plan verbally, and then I draw them a master plan, bring it back to them, and we go through it piece by piece. And to see something that was like plain, just dirt, just soil, or just a patch of weeds, being transformed into something beautiful with a sod lawn and sprinklers and trees and a koi pond or whatever. I mean, that's a lot of satisfaction right there. It's you made the earth more beautiful, at least in that one home or one business. And I guess that's the push.
And sometimes I'm sure you've worked on places that really did start out as like a new development piece where you know, a house is being built, and then you come in and go from there.
Oh yeah, and give the builders some advice about, or the homeowners some advice about. Well, you don't want to do that because that would encroach on your roofing or your driveway or your front porch or something like that. You want to make sure that you don't overplant, you don't overdo to cause them a problem. Some 5 to 10 years down the line with a snowstorm or a windstorm or something along those lines. Kind of like your yard, Kyle.
Oh, boy. There we go. But, and you've mentioned before, especially in new construction, that sometimes people want it to look mature immediately.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they do. And mature immediately means big bucks because big trees are expensive, large shrubs are expensive, and so you try to do kind of a combination. There are some key elements that you could make, you know, fairly large, and then the rest of them smaller. You know, it's a matter of balance, and I think I've got a pretty good record as far as accomplishing what people want and like in their yard. When I was cleaning out my office at the nursery, I was going through all these little, I had this one drawer full of cards and letters and, you know, thank you, Mike, and my yard is beautiful kind of stuff. And I had a whole stack of them. It was amazing how many people have written me and said, we really love our yard and it's really neat. It's clean. It's blah, 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 blah. And, you know, good. I'm glad. That's what it was supposed to be.
What are some of the bigger challenges of being in that line of work, especially in recent years?
Biggest challenges were hiring people. This last few years have been a nightmare as far as getting reliable help or any help at all. In fact, I go through an employment agency here, and they sent me a guy on a Friday afternoon, and I mean, I liked him immediately, and we interviewed. I walked him around the place, told him what we do, how we do it, and he was really good, first class. We shook hands, and I showed him. I said, "This is where the crew parks in the morning, so when you come here on Monday, just park your rig back there, and we get in ours and go." He says, "Okay." Monday rolled around, he didn't show. Tuesday rolled around, he didn't show. I called the employment agency, and they said, "Well, we'll call." So they called me back and said, "Well, we called two places. Nobody knows where he is." He was the perfect candidate, and he didn't show. And I thought, "What the heck?" That was kind of one of the bigger challenges, is getting folks. It's hard work. It's not easy. It's you're digging a lot. You're trenching a lot. You're dirty. You're hot. You're hot in the summer and wet and cold in the winter. And you got to be, you know, dedicated to your job, or it doesn't get done. Simple.
And as we wrap up, what's your biggest joy out of this past 50 years?
My wife and daughter and my brother and the people that I've retained for all those years and the projects that we accomplished. And probably one of the funnest accomplishments was doing the RV park at Seven Feathers. And it looks good today.
All right, Mike Winters, Douglas County's Commissioner of Dirt. You can catch him on his regular program Wednesday afternoon at 4. Mike, thanks for coming in.
Thank you. I appreciate the time.
1237 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.